It's Tammy here, another mini-sode, another Wednesday. I've been so enjoying these chats that we're having with our girls every week. Rachel, you're with us today. How's things?
Good, yeah, good. Nervous.
Good. Are you nervous? Oh, you shouldn't be nervous.
A little bit.
Yeah. You're one of our ambassadors as well. We haven't met in person before, I don't think, have we?
No.
No. And like when I asked you what you want to talk about on this episode that you thought might be of interest to people, you said that you wanted to share your experience of being an autistic woman,
yeah,
both in school and in the world in general. And I was really interested in that. And I suppose my first question, because like I've met a lot of people who have autism, but I never know, is it okay to say an autistic woman or a woman with autism? What do you prefer? What are you most comfortable with?
For me, anyway, I would say autistic woman. But these things, they very much depend on the person. But for me, I would say I am autistic.
You are autistic. Yeah. Okay. And when were you diagnosed, or how? Tell us about the story behind that.
So I actually wasn't diagnosed until I was 14, which is quite late compared to a lot of people. So since I was like a tiny baby, my mother knew all along. She was like, there's something not quite right with her. So she went into childcare courses. She went and tried to figure out like what's going on with my child. And when I went into primary school, she went into all my teachers and into the principal every single year and was like, I need an assessment for her. Like, I think she has autism. And every time they said no, they said like, she's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. She just has anxiety. And like, she's very bad separation anxiety. Like, she's fine. And at one point, the principal turned around to her after mom going in 7 or 8 times and said, she can't be autistic, she's a girl. Which is very outdated. But the minute I went into secondary school, I was having really bad panic attacks. You know, the transition from primary to secondary was obviously huge. And being undiagnosed and kind of knowing there was something slightly different about me, but I didn't know what that was. But the minute I met the teacher who was the head of the autism unit in St. Mary's, she just kind of said, okay, we need to get her tested. We need to get her assessed. And it took about a year and a half, because the public system, it's long waits and you have to get appointments and they have to do all these things. But yeah, no, I was diagnosed when I was 14 and it changed absolutely everything.
Yeah. So I have many, many questions for you on this.
Yeah,
first of all, like just something you said, and maybe you said it off the cuff, and I just want to ask you about the term. You said that your mom noticed that there was something not quite right.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Because does that mean that there's something wrong?
I think for a long time I did feel like there was something wrong with me, and especially after I was diagnosed, like it was a very hard thing to come to terms with. As like, you know, a young teenager, when you're that age, you don't want to be different. You want to fit in with everyone.
Yeah.
But I started going to therapy about a year ago. And I think that's what kind of helped me say, okay, this isn't like, it's not any kind of negative thing. It's, if anything, it can be a good thing. Like, it has its positives, it has its negatives, but it's just another part of me, you know, it's not my whole life.
Yeah. But it took you a while, obviously, to come to terms with that, because there was, you know, even like what your teacher said about she couldn't, because girls don't have, and like we know, right, that girls get diagnosed a lot later than boys do because they mask it and stuff like that. So how did it manifest itself in your life, or what kind of differences do you feel, or what do you think your mom noticed?
So when I was younger, looking back, I think it was quite obvious. I think it's very strange that it was missed. But my sensory issues were very obvious. Like, I would never wear my school tights because of the seam on the foot. I just couldn't cope with it.
Okay.
And being away from my mother was a big thing for me, because I felt like she was the only person, like obviously aside from my dad, who kind of understood me. Like, I could say to her, oh, like, I'm feeling this way. And she was able to say, okay, here's what we can do. But when I was in school, I didn't have that because I wasn't diagnosed. But sensory issues were very obvious from day one. And I think just not wanting to go out, I kind of had trouble mixing with other children. And like, I have a lovely group of friends now, but I think if I was still to meet someone new, I'd be a bit more kind of withdrawn into myself.
Yeah. I mean, you were put forward as a Shona ambassador because you show leadership skills and all the rest. So like, obviously, or maybe it's something that you've like tried really hard to overcome, but like you've been seen as a leader in your school. So what do you think they saw in you that they thought, we think Rachel is perfect for this?
I think I've been involved in a lot of projects with the autism unit in school.
Right.
So, you know, I've been on the intercom. We've done like loads of things for autism awareness and noise pollution. And I think I would have had, like, it would have been me, it would have been a group effort, but I loved doing it. It was good to promote it.
Yeah. So do you think then that there's things that, like, being an autistic woman, that it will stop you or it will be harder for you now? Like, now you have the diagnosis, you're really, really tuned into how it manifests itself in your life. But is there stuff that you would say, I can't do this because I'm autistic, or I would find this harder than most people because I'm autistic, or are you just fine now in the world?
I try not to say I can't do this because I'm autistic, because I feel like that's limiting myself and I really shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But say a lot of time, if I'm out with my boyfriend or something and there's a big group of his friends with us, I will feel like I can't say anything. And I kind of feel very shy, very withdrawn. And he said to me a million times, like, it's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong. But I think it would be more of a social thing. And always public speaking wouldn't be a big thing that I'd feel confident doing.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great now. I'm actually much better one-on-one too. Like, I do notice I can get quite overwhelmed by like lots of people, and I find when I have to do like a speech or something, I just love going into the toilet beforehand and closing the door and putting my face up against the toilet. Yeah. Like, I know the things, and like, I'm not autistic, but I have learned the tools, you know, to overcome the challenges that
Coping mechanisms.
Yeah. And what about relationships then? Has it impacted your relationships? Has it made them better? Has it made you more like careful about who you hang out with?
I think some people will definitely kind of see you as vulnerable. Like, I've had ex-boyfriends who have kind of wanted to take advantage of me in some way, just in the sense that like, oh, she's vulnerable, so I can manipulate her. She'll stay with me when no one else would put up with me. And in friendships and stuff, a lot of my friends are on the spectrum too.
Okay.
That it kind of just coincides, like neither of us care.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it depends on the person. Like, there will always be someone who has malicious intent.
Okay.
But I think when you find your tribe, it's okay.
It's worth it. Do you, like, is this something that's important to you to speak out about and to share? Like, do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's like in your plan that you want to increase understanding of autism and like, obviously it is a spectrum and it impacts some people's lives in more serious ways than others, but like, what's your plan for the future? Where do you see your life going? What are your dreams?
I would love to go into teaching. That's the plan for the moment.
Okay.
But like, we'll see. I want to do English and history in college, so then I can decide, do I want to go into teaching or do I want to do something else? But I would love to do something outside of that to do with autism, and especially the fact that like, there's 80% of girls under 18 aren't diagnosed or are misdiagnosed. Like, a lot of the time, if a woman goes to a doctor because there's not as much knowledge about it with GPs, they would say, oh, like, she has borderline personality disorder, she has anxiety, depression, and OCD. And that's a lot of things at once, when in reality she's just autistic.
Yeah, because there's a lot, and I hear a lot of people saying as well, which I think is like a little bit disrespectful, when people say, oh, I think I'm a bit autistic. Or,
yeah, I know. Like, no, you aren't. It's just not realistic.
Yeah.
But I think that's because of a lot of stereotypes as well. Like, when a lot of people think autism, they'll think of like a small boy who can't speak.
Yeah.
Who's like very outwardly presenting, when that's just so not true.
Yeah.
Like, I would have, like, a lot of my friends are on the spectrum and we're all completely different in every single way. Mm.
Or when people like are a little bit anxious, like have a little bit of social anxiety, or when people are like good at maths, or like, there's a lot of stereotypes about it. So when you were being diagnosed, like, what were the kind of criteria that, like, if somebody's listening to this, like a parent or a young woman, and she's either thinks she might be, or that her his or her daughter or son might be. What, like, and look, you're not a professional in this area. You're not.
No,
I just want to be like, we're not having our ambassadors diagnose anybody, but like, having gone through the process yourself, what do you think parents and young people should look out for as indicators, say?
I think it's hard to say because obviously everyone is so different, but the social thing is very common. Like, men and women present very differently, but some of the overlapping traits would be, you know, withdrawn socially or struggling to interact with people. Eye contact is a big thing, like making eye contact with people when they're speaking. Mm-hmm. And special interest would be a big thing, even though it doesn't apply to everyone. So say a common one now, you'd see it in autistic boys kind of stereotypically, is like, oh, he's obsessed with trains. And with girls, you know, like with anyone really, it can be like, oh, she's really fixated on anything in particular. Like for me, when I was younger, I used to hoard notebooks. Like I would buy them constantly, but I would never write in them and just keep them immaculate.
Yeah.
And I never really played as a child. I had like this big box of like tigers and lions and things, but I would just set it up as like
organize them.
Just like seen and maybe organized, but I would never play with them.
Yeah.
Things like that.
What about the thing about reading social cues, being able to pick up on other people's social cues? Is that something you've experienced or something that your friends might have?
It's like, it depends on the day. Do you know, some days I could wake up and I'd be going out and I'd be really clued into everything, but other days then, no, I wouldn't have a clue what's going on. But again, it depends on the person. Like, I think sometimes sarcasm or a joke could go over my head.
Okay.
But also, I could catch on to it as well. It's very dependent on the person, but a lot of people wouldn't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were to make a joke in a sarcastic manner, it wouldn't register as that.
Yeah. Do you know what, Rachel? I think the way you come across to me is that you have obviously been through a process of coming to terms with where you are. But you sound like you've really informed yourself and you've gotten on the like knowledge is power train. If I understand not just my own experience, but like, you know, you're giving me statistics there about how many people are diagnosed or not diagnosed. It just sounds like you're using this not to your advantage, but you're not letting it control you. You have it under control yourself, which is something amazing. And you should be so proud of yourself for that.
And I think with parents as well, a lot of them, like sometimes people can't differentiate between the autism and someone's personality. Like every autistic person, whether they're verbal or nonverbal or high functioning or low functioning, like there's a personality outside of that, you know, like it doesn't consume the whole person.
Yeah, that's a really
important. And I think differentiating between that is really important.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. Where would you advise people to go if they want more information on any of the stuff that we've discussed? What's the best channel?
As I Am are amazing. They're very, very good. And there's so many things online. Yeah. Like all you'd have to Google is autism and so much stuff will come up. There is a lot of resources out there if you look for them.
Yeah. And probably communities as well, right? Where you find people in your area and all of that.
The COPE Foundation do lots of like parental groups, you know, where parents of like young children with autism can go and meet and speak to each other. And I know the COPE Foundation do groups for like actual autistic people as well. Like I've done an anxiety management workshop and it was very good.
Amazing. Rachel, so nice to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time.